Before we begin, everyone do me a favor.
Thanks.
Read a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers.
Yeah.
I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched a central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my faith to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter.
Nope.
I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Welcome. You're listening to the Tokens Radio Show. It's Tuesday, February the 18th. My name's Christy.
I'm Linda.
I'm Christine.
Yes, and we have Christine back in the studio. So good to have her. She's always has so much information to share with us. So good to have you here. We're broadcasting from the KCNR studios in Redding, California, here on the dial at 96.5 FM and 1460 AM and online streaming at KCNR1460.com. You could follow us on X at Tokens Radio Show for updates and commentary. And we have Ben in the studio
helping us out.
Good evening.
Thank you.
How are we doing tonight?
We're doing great.
Thank you so much.
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, we kind of like this evening thing.
Yes.
Liking it.
Ben is so good. He comes in and makes sure that everything's set up. The studio, is it too warm? Can I cool this down some? It's really nice. Thank you so much for taking good care of us.
No problem. I'm here to help you guys any way I can.
We do like it. Well, coming up, Trump unveils a game-changing tax plan.
Another one.
No taxes on tips, overtime, or Social Security. Professor St. Ong explains what it means for your wallet, and then the global race for Bitcoin intensifies as Abu Dhabi, makes a massive crypto move, and Trump heads to Miami for talks with Saudi wealth fund executives. Plus, Bitcoin's unusual calm might signal a storm for brewing, and Hurley's going to break that down for us, and that's what's ahead. And we'll also look at the latest in Bitcoin custody providers and what's happening on the X feeds. We've got a lot to talk about.
There's a lot going on.
You bet. It's been exciting.
in the whole world. I mean, in our whole world, whether it's financial or personal or
my gosh.
Just living.
It has not even been a month. It's just I'm just so giddy. Well, enough of that, but first, before we get going on all of that, let's get a market update and a word from our sponsor. Christine, would you like to do the market update?
Absolutely.
All right.
Sure. So, currently, we have Bitcoin at $95,106.95. We have the IBIT ETF at $53.51. Ethereum at $2,662.48, XRP at $2.52, and MicroStrategy, now rebranded as Strategy, at $333.97.
Yes. You think Strategy is just kind of for the times?
I suspect it's because he's talking to a lot of government leaders, and he's talking to the people that are going to do the sovereign wealth fund, and he's helping them know that this is
the strategy for
the golden age.
Yes.
The negotiator of the master of negotiations,
chief cheerleader.
There you go.
Yes.
You know.
Absolutely.
All right. Our friends at the Queen of Dragon, home to Pinnacle Cultivators, sponsors today's show. They carefully cultivate unique strands, offer elevated experience with exotic genetics and robust flavors. The Queen of Dragons is known for fair pricing, stringent quality control, and knowledgeable staff. Stay connected by following at Queen Dragons on X or calling 530-276-9771.
Now, as Christy said, President Trump has unveiled a new tax plan targeting working Americans. So the proposal would eliminate taxes on tips, overtime pay, and Social Security benefits. Here's what Professor St. Ange has to say about this.
All right, let's go.
Last week, Donald Trump
Trump's base spokesperson, Carolyn Leavitt, announced his tax plans for the coming year. It is a beauty. So while Congress writes tax law, presidents set out the kind of bill they would like to see from Congress, at which point it becomes a back and forth between the White House and the drunk sailors, with the White House currently having the upper hand, given it is a GOP Congress and Trump has 90% plus support among Republican voters. So his proposal is to extend his first term tax cuts, along with 5 new cuts, and closing 2 tax loopholes on special interest. So the new cuts are no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, and no tax on Social Security payments, along with adjusting the so-called SALT cap that hits rich people in blue states, and a new tax cut specifically for Made in America products. Meanwhile, the tax hikes are eliminating sweetheart rates for hedge funds called carried interest and getting rid of breaks for billionaire sports team owners, which I guess is a pet project for the done. As always with Trump, the cuts are exactly what he promised on the campaign trail, and cutting tax on tips and overtime very specifically aims that sweet tax cut goodness at his working class base who earn tips and overtime. Now, that's massively popular since Americans of all parties do like helping working class people who actually work. Even more popular is Trump's no tax on Social Security payments, given that it's double taxing money we already paid. In fact, given the actual rates of return on Social Security are something like 1/4 of investing it on your own, it's pretty rich that they steal 3/4 of your retirement and then tax you for the swindle. The SALT cap is a bit more complicated. The original idea was limit how much federal taxes rich people in blue states can deduct for the state taxes they pay. That was effectively a federal subsidy to blue states like California and New York, and Trump reined it in. Still, as you'd expect, blue state voters hate the SALT cap, so Trump's using it as a bargaining chip to bring on suburban Republicans and maybe even some Dems. So put it together and you've got 3 massively popular tax cuts, tips, overtime, Social Security, and a SALT adjustment that is tactically popular. Now, the trick in tax cuts is that tax cuts that boost growth, like business tax and capital gains, are not very popular because they're easy to demonize given they reward investing in economic growth and rich people are the ones who invest. So ideally, you want to mix the high-impact tax cuts with the popular one. That's hopefully where Trump's Made in America cuts come in. They're a very elegant way to frame cuts in business tax for what they are, a way to make the country more prosperous. In contrast to the left's Marxist class war distributionist framing. Trump 2.0 is getting very good at communicating his goals. Assuming he does what I think he will, pairing high-impact cuts with popular cuts, Trump stands a very good chance of getting his cuts into law and making a big impact on economic growth. As for the long game, Trump has repeatedly said he would like to get rid of the entire income tax. Exempting broad categories moves us a lot closer, and if tariffs and DOGE can make enough progress cutting spending and raising revenue, it actually becomes possible.
I don't know. What do you think about that? I got a lot of questions, kind of, I guess, because I do taxes. But what does it do to the servers for their hourly pay if the tips aren't going to be taxed? Is the employer going to be able to take away from? I don't know. It's an interesting thing.
Wasn't there tips on top of their hourly pay?
So I was a server.
Okay. Yeah.
And we got our hourly pay, which is minimum wage here in California. And then we got our tips that we claimed. Now, most people don't claim their cash tips, but your credit card tips are always claimed because they're on a paper. So what would happen is it would go to basically like our hourly. So our paychecks weren't as much.
Right.
Because they would take that out. Now, all that will do for servers is they'll just get more money on their paychecks, and obviously their tips will already be there, but your paychecks are going to be bigger.
Wouldn't that also help if you're looking to take out a loan because you got to show what you made the year before?
Yeah.
Well, you have to show it on the tax return. If it's reported, like you said, the credit card tips, you have to show on there.
Now, I mean, if I'm not getting taxed on those tips, I'm going to obviously record those. So,
well, but see, you could be taxed on the tips hourly for withholding. See, that's kind of where.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of an interesting concept because you got payroll. Payroll's different than income tax.
I just say, Linda, you just got to be patient with the process.
Yes.
It'll
he's
be
eliminating broad categories.
I know. I also think he's building consensus.
I do, too.
With the DOGE stuff, it's horrifying, and we're slowly being acclimated to the vast amount of waste. I think more and more people are just crying out, what have you done with my tax money? And I want a refund. Yeah. And so he has said over and over he'd like to get rid of income tax altogether.
Right.
But I think he'd love to have the American people crying out for it.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not trying to be a Debbie
Downer. No, they're great questions. They're great tactical questions.
Yeah, it goes to payroll more than it goes to income.
Yeah.
So,
and then one more thing before we go. Social Security, because I just went through this with a client that works at the bank. She got some Social Security. She got in a car wreck. And she got some Social Security while she was not able to work. Okay, she works at a local bank. But they said that they overpaid her. And she ended up paying Social Security back $15,000. But the full amount is on her Social Security income. So without this, depending on what her income level, she could end up having to pay tax on that.
Wow. Well, and the whole system is a little crazy because they're not, you know, I don't know if you remember when Nayib Bukele, the president of El Salvador, came and spoke at CPAC last year, and he asked, why do you even pay taxes? Because you print money out of nothing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the monetary supply grows and grows and grows, and we're taxed through the inflation, whereas they're not really using our money to build all the roads. Obviously, a lot of roads aren't getting built that we're supposed to get built, but money makes it everywhere else in the world. So the whole system is due for an overhaul. I think it's going to be very interesting if they really do this Fort Knox audit. Elon Musk is even saying he wants to live stream it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wouldn't that be sad if they go in there and there's nothing there?
Right. Or what if there's more there?
Yeah.
Right now, all the gold from the LBMA is making its way back to the U.S., and it may be.
Let's hope that it's all there. Hopefully there's more there than what we had expected.
Which interesting you bring that up, though, too. Like, where'd this come from?
Because I just heard on the radio coming here about the gold, that Germany is getting their gold back, but it used to have their name on it. Now it doesn't.
Well,
just kind of interesting little thing.
There's a lot. You know, this is why Bitcoin re-minted. Is so beautiful, because with gold you can cover it up, you know, tungsten. You really got to drill into it to know if it's real.
Right.
Oh.
Whereas digital gold, auditable every 10 minutes.
That's right. Yes.
TikTok.
Next block.
Yes, indeed. That's a good segue. Good segue. Love it. So global race for Bitcoin adoption is accelerating, with Abu Dhabi's trillion-dollar sovereign wealth fund revealing a $436 million investment in BlackRock's spot ETF. The timing is particularly notable as former President Trump prepares to meet with Saudi wealth fund executives in Miami tomorrow, signaling growing interest from Middle Eastern financial powerhouses. Now, Trump has directed his administration to explore creating America's own sovereign wealth fund, while Wyoming Senator Cynthia Lummis pushes for a strategic Bitcoin reserve to address the nation's mounting $36 trillion debt. It's time for America to win, Lummis declared in response to Abu Dhabi's move. Industry insiders, including Bitcoin Magazine CEO and former Trump campaign advisor David Bailey, suggests Abu Dhabi's investment may be substantially larger than reported, while other Gulf nations quietly make similar moves, and you bet they are. Trump's cryptocurrency advisor David Sacks has confirmed the administration is actively exploring the creation of a national Bitcoin reserve, similar to how the U.S. currently maintains strategic reserves of oil and gold. The development marks a significant shift in Bitcoin, once dismissed as a fringe digital asset, emerges as a serious strategic resource in global financial landscape. While these major players position themselves in the Bitcoin market, technical indicators suggest we might be approaching a crucial moment. Bitcoin's price volatility has dropped to unusual lows, often signal that a major move is coming. And here we have Hurley with more on what this means for investors. So why don't we go ahead and listen to what he has to say. This is a 7-minute clip, and it's worth listening to every minute of it. Here we go.
Bitcoin is now getting close to 3 whole months consolidating around the 100K level. And as crypto altcoins continue to get wrecked and Bitcoin dominance soars, many are noticing that this cycle feels quite a bit different than previous ones. If you expect Bitcoin to do more of the same that it did in previous cycles, the next huge run-up in price would potentially be the final hype phase of the cycle that brings us to a blow-off top in price. Comparing Bitcoin cycle bottoms would lead us to believe this cycle will at some point in Q2 or Q3 of this year reach levels between 200K and 500K, which would be similar in size to the moves we saw in 2017 and 2021. Now, it seems like at least for the past two cycles, we've heard the talk of the current four-year cycle dynamics being different. Think super cycle, which was an especially hot topic in 2021. Now, even though all the past cycles in Bitcoin's history have had some similarities, they are all unique. Last cycle in 2021, for example, we didn't see the telltale blow off top that the previous ones clearly had. And if you've been around since last cycle, you probably know by now that over-leverage via the FTX fraud and the Great China Mining Ban contributed to the legs being taken out early, cutting the cycle a bit short. This cycle, on the other hand, is unique, but for very different reasons. For one, for the first time ever, we hit a new all-time high before the halving, after huge demand and hype surrounding the launch of the Bitcoin spot ETFs in January of last year. We then bounced around and consolidated for over 7 months before the next catalyst, Trump's election win and hype surrounding a potential strategic Bitcoin reserve, sent us up once again over the famed $100,000 level in early December. If we looked at previous cycles for comparison, one might have expected us to enter a large correction after surpassing 100K, but that hasn't materialized. Instead, we look to be in another lengthy consolidation, now getting close to 3 months. And this brings us to today, where many traders expecting the same dynamics are becoming disillusioned with impatience and frustration. It's weird how human psychology works, isn't it? If you would have said a few years ago that we would be getting impatient and frustrated with Bitcoin around 100K, you wouldn't have believed it, but here we are. But what if this trend of longer, slower, and steady consolidations mixed with sudden upwards volatility continues in a stair-step pattern all the way through 2025 and into 2026? I know this might sound a lot like the supercycle theories we've all heard before, but stay with me here. I want to unpack all the reasons why I'm starting to lean on this cycle actually being profoundly different. First of all Bitcoin bull cycles in the past have been characterized by long-term Bitcoin holders unloading their coins into weak hands as the price ran up. This is what largely caused the deep corrections that characterized previous bull runs. But today, these long-term Bitcoin holders are selling right into the institutional black hole, a la Saylor's strategy and the ETFs. This would explain the lack of larger corrections so far this cycle. Institutional demand is swallowing up all that selling pressure. Second of all, after the fourth halving last year, we are truly in a new era of Bitcoin supply dynamics. As the inflation rate shrank below 1% per year, and as we near 95% of all the Bitcoin that will ever exist being on the market. This was eloquently articulated by Michael Saylor last year at Bitcoin Atlantis, where he outlined what he called the beginning of the Bitcoin gold.
If we're talking about the future of Bitcoin, I think that we're in the Bitcoin gold rush era. And it started in January of 2024, and it will run till about November of 2034. It's a 10-year. And the reason I... How many people know what happened in November of 2034? It's an important date, you know. If you pull Clark Moody's dashboard, you'll see that. In November of 2034, 99% of all the Bitcoin will have been mined. And the last 1% comes out over the next 100 years. So for all practical purposes, stock to flow becomes irrelevant. The stock to flow ratio of Bitcoin is infinity in 2034 it's within the tolerance of just random hourly trading of the asset. So it becomes noise. And so you have about 42 quarters, somewhere between 40 and 42 quarters. And if you look at that 40 quarter period, at the beginning of the gold rush, no bank could custody Bitcoin. No institutional investor could buy Bitcoin. No Wall Street trading firm. No investment company could handle Bitcoin, and it was unclear whether that ever would happen. That was a binary. And when those spot ETFs were approved, that created a fire or an avalanche. The genie's out of the bottle. It doesn't matter who's elected president next. It doesn't matter who's the next head of the SEC. It doesn't matter. And no politician's opinion, no banker opinion, no regulator opinion matters after that date. That was the most consequential thing that kicked off the gold rush.
What Saylor lays out here is not well understood or talked about outside hardcore Bitcoin circles. Bitcoin's supply issuance was engineered so that it had a very top-heavy issuance, as is characterized by nearly 95% of the fixed supply already being on the market today, and that number very rapidly moving towards 99% in 2034. This exponentially increasing scarcity is happening alongside rapidly increasing institutional adoption and the early stages of nation-state adoption. Which brings me to my third point. There's a reason the second price catalyst this cycle was the Trump victory. For the first time ever, we have a presidential administration in the U.S. that is very outwardly pro-Bitcoin. So pro-Bitcoin that the administration is currently looking into the feasibility of adding Bitcoin to a national strategic reserve and or adding it to the newly announced National Sovereign Wealth Fund. This monumental shift in the Overton window, alongside the incredible performance of gold over the last year, which we haven't seen the likes of since the early 70s, is signaling a once-in-a-lifetime reordering of the entire global monetary system. And this reordering is happening as Bitcoin is finally becoming recognized as pristine global capital. And its superiority to gold in a modern economy is becoming more and more clear. So while we continue to consolidate here and wait for the next catalyst that causes the next wave in upwards volatility, we can start to ask ourselves, where does it stop? The next catalyst could very well be the announcement of some kind of U.S. strategic reserve containing Bitcoin. That would most definitely cause the price to gap up much higher. But if institutional adoption is continuing to increase, and nation-state adoption also starts to increase, and when we understand that we're still in the first year of 4 years of a pro-Bitcoin administration in the U.S., it becomes very possible that we gap up and just start another slow and extended consolidation at higher levels, waiting for the next catalyst to continue the stair-step pattern. This could theoretically continue all the way towards $1 million per coin, without a telltale blow off top, and without the telltale 80% drop that we've all come to expect in Bitcoin cycles. This would mean max pain for all traders, and those with a high time preference looking to make a quick buck on models. As Saylor famously said,
all your models are destroyed, completely devastated, Bitcoin goes to the moon.
So this is just more reasons why you should not try to trade this thing. You're better off to just set up an automatic Bitcoin buy plan, hold long term, and chill. Now, obviously this is all speculation on my part, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But Bitcoin is clearly maturing, and it would be a bit naive to think that the cycle dynamics we've gotten used to won't also mature and change alongside it.
Very interesting. What do you think of his analysis?
I think it's great. Well, you know,
I wholeheartedly agree. Just set up a plan.
Yeah.
Buy on a regular basis and hold, because it is going up, baby, to the moon.
Well, and Trump knows he's got all the power, because as soon as the U.S. starts telegraphing that we're going to have a Bitcoin strategy, the whole rest of the world has to buy in.
That's
to
right.
Keep up.
Yes.
And people have made good points that there's this playbook for switching to a new monetary system where you revalue the gold. And so all the central banks have been buying gold. But if we'll find out if we've got the gold, but if we let gold revalue, which I do think gold will do fine, but then Russia and China and India and all these people that have been stockpiling, they've got more than us. And so it weakens us. Perhaps. We don't really know. But the point is that the U.S. currently has more Bitcoin than anyone else in the world. And David Bailey, the CEO of Bitcoin Magazine, has been saying we actually have a lot more than is on record. On that record, we've got 200,000 Bitcoin. So if we have more Bitcoin than any other nation in the world, and we say, all right, well, we've got a Bitcoin strategy now, everyone start racing to catch up, well, then we've just put ourselves at the front of the race. So I think they're both going to do well in this new world, but there's so much potential with Bitcoin.
The other countries are already racing.
Right.
They're already trying to get more Bitcoin or gather Bitcoin because they don't know how much we really have.
That's right.
I don't think any of us know.
Doesn't matter if we don't have as much gold.
That's right.
Right.
Because, and you know, Howard Lutnick, the new Commerce Secretary, just approved today. I mean, this man is a mega Bitcoin bull. He's a Bitcoin billionaire, and he just bought a whole bunch of MicroStrategy in quarter four. There's so much that they could do. They could say, okay, well, pay your tariffs in Bitcoin.
Sure.
You know, like,
love that.
But I think Trump's a businessman, and he's going to wait until they're comfortable that they have the lead. They've bought in. But once he starts talking it up, then the whole
all
game.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he knows that.
Oh, yeah, he does. Well, it should be interesting.
Yeah. And with that, I guess we will take a break. You are listening to Tokens Radio Show here on 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. We will see you in a few moments.
Looking for the freshest top-shelf flower? Look no further than the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake, where they work directly with small, local farmers to bring you the finest flower that fits your price. The Queen of Dragons has the best prices on carts, edibles, concentrates, and pre-rolls. Plus, don't miss happy hour every day from 6 p.m. until close and all day Sundays. Don't just stock up on toilet paper. The Queen of Dragons has great deals, so you can stock up on the best flower for the best prices. So what are you waiting for? Stop by Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-238-5638 for details or delivery. That's 530-238-5638. And don't forget to follow Queen of Dragons on Facebook and X at the Queen Dragons for all the latest deals and updates. Support Queen of Dragons, a local business in the city of Shasta Lake, where you will find the most friendly and knowledgeable staff. Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Good day. Welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, and I'm here with the latest local updates. In April 2020, Reading Police Corporal Will Williams and his wife, Heather Legal Williams, and Heather Hart were charged in connection with a marijuana cultivation and distribution operation in Shasta County. The investigation uncovered over 100 pounds of processed marijuana, approximately 30 grams of cocaine, and $59,000 in cash at a warehouse near Reading. Williams was terminated from the police force in August 2020. In December 2024, Williams and Legal Williams accepted plea deals, with felony charges being dismissed. Both pleaded to misdemeanor public nuisance charges and waived all appellate rights. Williams received 1 year of informal probation, a $575 fine, and 480 hours of community service or 60 days in an adult work program. Legal Williams received similar terms with reduced service requirements. Both must allow law enforcement to search their electronic devices. While law enforcement issues continue to make headlines in Shasta County, another pressing concern has emerged for residents. Shasta County officials have appealed to Governor Newsom regarding California's home insurance crisis amid intensifying wildfire risks. The County Board of Supervisors emphasized their local fire mitigation efforts in a letter seeking policy changes from Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara. Research indicates climate change has lengthened wildfire seasons and increased natural disaster frequency. Homeowners report frustration that their fire prevention measures aren't being recognized by insurance providers, leading to limited affordable coverage options. Insurance experts recommend residents continue implementing protective measures while exploring various insurance options. They suggest clearing the brush and installing fire-resistant roofing. Additionally, experts advocate for increased investment in community resilience and risk reduction strategies. The Insurance Commissioner's Office remains available for residents who believe they're experiencing unfair treatment from insurance providers. As the community grapples with these challenges, there's encouraging news from the local education sector. A team from Shasta High School has been selected by NASA as one of the 60 teams nationwide to participate in a space exploration research project. Their experiment, chosen from over 720 proposals, focuses on testing Martian soil's effectiveness in radiation protection, a crucial factor for future future Mars colonization. The students are developing a compact payload containing sensors covered by varying depths of simulated Martian soil. The experiment will be launched via a high-altitude balloon reaching over 70,000 feet before parachuting back to Earth. Team members face challenges including precise soldering, strict size and weight limitations, and complex spatial calculations to fit all components within the payload. The project receives weekly mentoring from NASA engineers, providing students with professional guidance throughout the development. While these students reach for the stars, progress is also being made on the ground to address local housing needs. The Cascade Village Apartments, a $36.5 million mixed-use development in the city of Shasta Lake, is approaching completion. The project combines affordable housing with commercial space, featuring 49 income-qualified units, 15 one-bedroom, 20 two-bedroom, and 14 three-bedroom apartments, and 7,500 square feet of commercial space. The development is a collaborative effort between K2 Development Companies, the City, Shasta County Housing, and Shasta County Community Action Agency. The Shasta County Housing Authority is currently accepting applications. Prospective residents can apply through the development's website, and an informational meeting is scheduled for March 14th at the City of Shasta Lake Community Center from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., where attendees can receive application assistance. Before we go, looking for more local stories? We've got you covered. Find additional news and updates on our social media. Join the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X. From all of us at Town Hall Brief, thanks for listening.
And we are back. I reached back in the vault for that one. Not too many people would know that one, but that's going back sometime. But
yeah, it sure is.
It's some rocking stuff for me. So anyway, this portion of the show, our promotion, we are going to do. And, of course, it is sponsored by the Anderson VFW Post. Since 1899, the veterans of foreign wars have been fighting for veterans' rights. For creating the VA to securing benefits for today's service members. Planning an event? The Anderson VFW Post would love to host you. Give them a call at 530-365-9650. They'll take great care of you. And we just had one there on Saturday, and it was the bomb.
It was very good.
Yeah, they do wonderful for us.
And they came out to check and make sure that everything was good.
I know.
Remember when the lady came up to the banking table?
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Yeah. They love us and we love them. And you know what?
What?
They have a new air conditioner. No more swamp cooler this summer. We have central air.
Yeah. So you can comfortably have your event there during the summer, which was something that was kind of, let's not do this in the
cooler.
Summer.
Yeah. Exactly. So anyway. All right. So. We actually received a text thread in regards to custody services.
Well, yeah, we were talking about that last week. And
So I thought maybe we should kind of talk about this, you know, with Swan, Casa, River. I just actually went on River and was checking it out. I had never really been on River, and so I'm checking it out. I haven't really done anything, but I'm getting it.
I like River.
BitGo.
Yeah, those are some choices.
Bank and 66, and there's several others, but what do you think? We should talk about a few, like maybe Swan and stuff?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, this all started off like because custody is now becoming an option. You know, banks are going to be able to offer custody services. So it's like, you know, the names that Linda just mentioned are well known in the Bitcoin space, but it might just be your local bank that's going to offer some custodian services, but it's well worth talking about it. And the person who knows quite a bit about this is Christine. So glad that you're here to talk about that.
Yeah.
So what do you think? I mean, of course, you know, Swan is
like
a company
Swan.
We're used to, and we hear a lot about River. But what do you think? There's Casa. That's somebody that Natalie or a company that Natalie Brunell talks a lot about. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, so it's a question I get all the time.
Okay.
Because Bitcoin's original ethos, the title of the original white paper, is Bitcoin peer-to-peer cash system.
Right.
So this idea that you can be your own bank, you can hold your own coins, and you don't have to worry about counterparty risk, right? You don't have to worry about a bank bankrupt or closing or sanctioning you.
Right.
You know, you have access, you know, as Bitcoiners say, not your keys, not your coins. But as more and more people come into this space, or maybe they have more and more Bitcoin, then they're less and some of them are less and less comfortable holding it all themselves. So I think it's probably good to categorize the different options.
Right.
And so on one side of the whole centralization spectrum would be trusting somebody else to hold your coins. And so traditionally that might be leaving them on the exchange where you bought them. So maybe
Coinbase.
You bought them on Coinbase or Swan or River.
Right.
River is Bitcoin only. So some people, they just never get around to taking those coins off the custodian. But we saw with FTX.
Right.
BlockFi, Celsius, we've been through it all,
the
right?
The list goes on. Yeah.
Right. There's problems if those entities have an issue, then you have the risk of losing your coins.
Right.
One of the interesting things is, one, just this week or last week, the ETFs have now changed the way that they do their Bitcoin creation. So back during the Biden administration, Gary Gensler told all the ETF people, I want cash creates. So they wouldn't let them trade in and out of Bitcoin. But just recently, now that the new Trump administration's in, BlackRock filed to change their kind of ETF. So now you can send your Bitcoin to BlackRock and they can turn it into an ETF for you. And then you can also request that the Bitcoin be distributed to you. So I think a lot of older people in the space that maybe have a whole bunch of Bitcoin, they may send some of their Bitcoin to BlackRock. Maybe that's just for safety concerns, so nobody comes to their house.
Sure.
So that's an option. That's a new option, is to turn it into an ETF. Also, maybe you want to take out a loan, and it's easier to get a low interest rate loan in the stock market. Also, the banks, so the House and the Senate had approved rules that would allow banks to hold Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, but Biden vetoed it.
Right, right.
And so Trump unvetoed it, or whatever it is he did. So now we have banks having the possibility to hold your Bitcoin. So some people just trust their local banks. There's one interesting bank that kept getting stymied during the Trump the Biden administration. That would be Caitlin Long's Custodia Bank, because she wanted to hold one-to-one backed, so it's not a fractionally reserved lending bank. And she was always intending to hold Bitcoin and such. I don't think she's gotten her charter just yet, but now with the new administration, that's a possibility. So that's nice. It's not a fractional reserve bank, so she's got the Bitcoin. It's even over-collateralized sometimes. So those are options for having somebody else hold your coins. But then as you want to take those coins into your own possession, there's different levels of security with that. So there's hot wallets, which would just be connected to the internet. So maybe a phone wallet. And you don't want a whole lot of stuff there. Maybe if you're going to a conference, but it could be hacked, you know, that's it's online. So then there's cold wallets, which is a hardware device that you can plug in through a USB port, and it's basically the signature. The coins themselves are on the blockchain, they're on the ledger, but your signature for it is offline. So that would be like a cold card or a Trezor or a ledger. It's a single point of failure. If someone gets access to your passwords, your 24 words, if you take a picture of it and AI finds it, then you could lose that. You don't have the backup, but it's a cheap and easy way to bring it offline. And if you just write down your 24 words, put them somewhere else, then you can always recreate that that device. But then there's another layer of security, which are called multi-signature wallets. So if you think about a bank lockbox where it needs two keys to open it.
Right.
So services such as Casa, which you mentioned, or Unchained Capital, it requires a certain number of keys to move a coin. So you might have somebody else holding one of your keys,
oh, God,
or
God.
A key in a different place, in a bank lockbox, the custodian themselves, unchained, or CASA, they may hold one key. They can't move anything without two signatures, but if you lose access to one of your keys, you can petition to them. They might also help you pass it on to your kids, so you may have a protocol with them for passing it on. So those would be the different options from having somebody else hold it. That would be the exchange, the bank, the ETF, or a single point of failure option, which would be Trezor, Ledger, cold card, or a multi-signature option, which has several keys to move the coins.
Right. And there's different cost features too. And when you and I spoke the other day about that, I was going to talk to Unchain, but not picking on Unchain. They're great, and they've contributed so much to this space, to the Bitcoin community. But they've gotten expensive, and so I just pulled right out of the appointment I was going to have with them. And, you know, I've looked at Swan Private, which is also an option. CASA has its own. River has its own. So, and they're all multi-sig.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you were going to look into something like that, you want to definitely look at their, the services they offer and the fees that they charge.
I've also used Coinbase Institutional. Now that's got a pretty high limit.
Okay.
It was for a project. You had to have, like $1 million worth of coins, which I don't personally have, but the project I was working with did. And so, but with that one, especially for businesses or institutions, they also have a multi-signature option, and you can identify how many people you want to sign.
Sure.
So you queue up a transaction, and then all the people in that list need to sign before the coins will move.
Well, that was one of my questions, was is there a limit with some of them, or do you have to have a certain amount before they will allow you to use their services?
Well, I guess some do have limits, just like Coinbase Institutional does. I don't think Swan does. I don't think River or CASA does. Well, they may if it's under their private side, like they have Swan Private, I believe it's $200,000, but it may not be the case. That was something that they were a target for them. Whether they've now made that a hard, fast rule, I don't know.
Yes.
But it's something you have to look into.
Exactly.
But I do think the we've gone, it's interesting in the last 4 years where we've gone to maybe just considering a little flash drive.
Yeah.
Right, to, at the time it was Ledgers, right, and Trezors were probably one of the first ones that came out. But even before that, they were just on a thumb drive.
Yeah.
Right? And so now we've gone from these little key fob things, right?
Yeah, I
like Bitcoin
that.
Ben used to talk. Yeah, you have it on your keychain, like a Trezor or a Ledger. Right? And then now we're at this point where we've been hammering home self-custody, but then yet there are issues and concerns with self-custody, you know, that you do have to look at, especially if you're have an inheritance a plan, you know, that you're planning your estate. These are things to take into consideration. So it is time. And I just look back on this with a big smile on my face and just look at how far this has come so quickly.
Yes.
And how much the market has matured. And gosh, when we started this show, it was just to help promote the adoption of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And my gosh, has it been adopted? Hasn't it? It's amazing.
You know, and I think it's going to go faster in some aspects as the value of Bitcoin gets higher and higher. Things are going to change more rapidly to a certain degree.
Yes. Well, and even just the safety. So if you've been known to be in the space, then people, they don't want, you know, like the concern of, oh, does somebody think that I've got all my Bitcoin at my house and they can come over? And so I've shifted over the years right now.
Sure.
I mean, you can come to my house, but you can't get it because I don't actually have it all there.
You're not
going to
find it. Yep.
So that's where the custodian options are kind of nice.
Yeah, they make sense. And I think one of the most exciting ones, I think you had mentioned BitGo. Is that it?
Yes, BitGo works only with institutions.
Oh, okay.
But I've worked with them before as well.
And then Custodia Bank is promising, and hopefully that
yes.
they will get unleashed this year sometime.
Absolutely. You know, Caitlin Long, when her whole idea with Custodia is, we don't want fractional reserve
because right.
there's always a risk.
That's right.
It's kind of like what's going on with the gold right now. Suddenly everyone's calling in the gold, and is there enough of it?
Is that really my gold?
She kept getting denied her charter and was told by the Federal Reserve or whoever denied it that, no, it's too dangerous. But the interesting thing is, it's not dangerous to have fully backed one-to-one. What's dangerous is that everybody's going to want that and pull themselves out of the fractionally reserved places and maybe cause a collapse because no bank can survive a bank run.
And isn't that interesting that stablecoins need to be one-on-one?
Yeah.
One-to-one, but can't have it in a bank like that?
Yeah. Hmm.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Right. Yeah. We were talking about safety. I had a... something happened the other day. I had somebody ask me, how much Bitcoin do you have? And when I said...
It's none of your business.
When I kind of said it like right. that, they looked at me and they said, really? You
I don't have any.
Tell me?
Yeah. I don't have any
but
Bitcoin.
I just thought, yeah, again, back to the safety
the voting
thing.
Voting accident.
You know, lost yeah. it all. It's like, we have to really be reserved now yeah. with stuff like that because yeah. how we let people know or not know. But
right.
yeah. I just thought it was pretty bold that they'd come out. And then they got a little upset because I said, I'm not going to tell you
right.
how much I have or don't have or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it was just interesting.
That's a lesson for you. You never tell anybody what you have.
Well, and I've also found, so being involved with mining, right now it's very difficult to mine to make a profit. The current average price to mine Bitcoin is over $89,000. So miners are barely squeaking by right now because there's so much competition. But people think that because you're in Bitcoin and Bitcoin's at an all-time high, you must be so wealthy. You must have a lot of it. And, you know, and it doesn't necessarily mean that. You know, like you may have just been putting in $5 here and there for you can't really assume that someone's uber wealthy because
right.
they've been in the space.
Well, very good. That is terrific. And if you guys have any questions, just reach out to us.
No,
and ask.
Some of us got in this space because we had the rug pulled on us a couple of times. That's where most Bitcoiners came from to start with.
You know, it happens every cycle. Everyone's so interested in the altcoins because they think, well, Bitcoin's already so high and these have a...
Right.
It's like, no, we've all learned the hard way that those
right.
things trend to zero compared
right.
to Bitcoin. It's better to just stack...
Yeah.
Stay humble and
you bet.
Let it grow slowly.
There's been so many that have started and where are they?
Yeah.
I mean, it was even so bad to where there was a company called Rug Zombie who bought all of the rug pools and try to make a few extra bucks out of it. It's kind of like, almost seems like a factoring company to me.
Well, and you notice the stuff that was hot the last cycle is gone every time. Like
it was hot and now it's not.
The 2017 cycle in 2021 and
right.
you never hear about EOS or... You know,
what?
These coins that were really popular back
exactly.
then.
Exactly. What about that divvy? Oh, my.
Yeah, it just touche.
Yeah, touche. Well, y'all, we just have to talk about this today. I mean, have you heard about the Social Security fraud that was discovered? You know, the Doge team went in and they were able to look at the Social Security database. But let me just back up. Judge Shokin, okay, the federal judge who was harsh on Trump prior to his election, now granted says, you know what? I'm going to let the firings and Trump's plans for cleaning house to go through. She wrote a 10-page response to that and says, I don't see how these attorney generals for the states who are coming in saying he can't do that. It's not good that he fires these people and Doge has all of this exposure to Social Security numbers and all that. Well, by the way, Elon Musk did was one of the original PayPal creators.
Yes,
I mean,
was.
So he has access to all of this anyway. Sidestep, but interesting. That's all been allowed. So they go on and they do their work and they look into the Social Security database. And
that's crazy.
Do you know that there are folks who are in the Social Security database that are over 240 years old? There's two of them on record. And I believe here looking on that there are 64 million phantom Social Security numbers which are in the system. So basically 398, nearly 400 million active Social Security numbers for a country of only 334 million people. How does that work?
Wow.
So when you think about that, and then there was some sort of, was it 4.7 trillion? I don't know where that number came from.
4.7 that you can't track where it went,
yeah,
because they never put in the code of
right.
This is being paid
because
to that.
They put in, there's a death field, and they were all put to false. Now, interestingly, this is 64 million. I'm just throwing it out here. But maybe all of this exposure might be, you know, a Waterloo moment here for our country for the grand reveal. So here we're finding out that we have phantom Social Security numbers. Those people theoretically have addresses, and maybe they're receiving a ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Could they have voted?
Mm-hmm. That's where I was
how
going.
Many,
doesn't this sound like the voting rolls in
yes.
California?
Doesn't it? Well, just the whole country. I believe the last election was over 70 million had voted.
Yep.
So, okay, so if you did want to tilt an election your way, it'd be pretty easy to find 15, 20 million votes that you might need to sway an election.
Well, it's interesting because the U.S. Postal Service has a patent for blockchain voting.
Yes, they do. They've had it for years.
Yeah, and they haven't used it, but that is a no-brainer.
Yes,
right?
It is.
Like, there's my vote, and it was recorded correctly. So, and nobody else voted under my name or my Social Security number.
So think about the army of non-existent Americans who are potentially collecting benefits, filing tax returns, and voting. Wow.
I think a lot of Americans are thinking
and
about
so
this.
So you mentioned
right
earlier when we had the tax segment about how people are really getting fed up about this.
Yeah.
But when you think about this, it's like, Who really wants to pay any more taxes at this point until all of this is straightened out?
That's right.
Why should they have to?
My position is that I want a refund, and I want a refund of every penny that I've contributed in my entire lifetime because I've been ripped off, you know, 100 times that.
Yeah.
I want it back.
Right. It was going to things not only did I not approve, but are working against me and my country and my family.
Exactly. Wow, it's just incredible. So it's a little dry in this studio, and so Linda's going to step out for a minute. But this is just incredible. You looking at these numbers, you know, the well over 100, there's probably 10, 15, 18 million people there, over 100.
Unbelievable.
You know, my dad, when he had passed away, he got called to jury duty. And
oh,
he,
really?
Yes, like 10 months later. And he received a postcard that says, if you don't show up for jury duty because you missed jury duty, dude, we're going to fine you. So, you know, of course, I get involved with that. And I ask, well, how did he get this in the first place? Well, you know, he's on the voter roll. Those death certificates we pay for, isn't that something that, you know, you cut off his benefits pretty quick.
Yeah. Right.
But now you want him to come into, so what's going on with this? So, yeah, there's some major cleaning up that has to happen. And so our system is seriously broken in all of those fronts.
What a time to be alive, though.
Yeah, it sure is.
It's going to be a very interesting next couple years. Or even next couple, the first 100 days of the, I can't even believe it hasn't even been,
it hasn't even been a month yet. It's incredible. Yeah. It is completely different. Well, oh my goodness, just incredible. Well, we were going to get into an XRP story, And I think we'll hold that for next week because we're coming up towards the end of the show here. We got about 30 seconds left. Just want to thank you, Christine, for being here. It's just been, it's always great when you come and join us.
Oh, it's fun.
Yes.
I enjoy it.
And love having you in Reading because we can snag you more often and come on the show. It is awesome. And, Ben, just want to thank you so much for taking good care of us and cutting our mics off when we need to. And thank you.
Really appreciate that.
Yes.
No problem.
So, well, thank you so much for joining the show, and we'll see you next week. And you're listening to the Tokens Radio Show. We'll see you next Tuesday. Have a great night.
Now climb aboard, y'all. This train is bound for glory. And there's plenty of room for all. Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's the name I love to say. And we don't know.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.